Right now. All right, we are back in, session. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Seaman. Information report regarding enrollment.
Yeah, I left a put a PowerPoint at the dais there for. That's not part of my presentation.
That was your opening line.
But that was really exciting. That would have jazzed it up.
Okay.
Are we ready?
What's the Big Bang Theory theme song?
Oh, okay. Well, this slide. Actually, this is a slide for my next Williams presentation. You don't have that one, so we'll go to the next one. Okay, so we're going to talk about enrollment. We preliminarily talked about this, I think it was the last meeting in September. We have some other updated information. There were some considerations that you wanted us to look at, so I'm going to discuss those tonight.
Yes,
just to recap, our enrollment and our attendance rates, what bases are. ADA, which are average daily attendance. Our ADA is what basis for is the basis for our budget revenue and apportionment. And also our enrollment is what drives our staffing levels at all of our different schools. I wanted to touch on some information because there was some concern that we might be unique in this declining enrollment. But if you look at this slide here that has the student enrollment for the state of California, you can see starting in 14-15, there's a trend in declining enrollment, which runs all the way through 2018-19 for the state. And this is their projections. It's similar for the county, obviously similar for us, as you see when we're going to get some other slides. But this declining or downward trend is a statewide issue. I have a group, and I mentioned it earlier, that we meet that runs basically from Whittier to Palmdale. And I sent out a survey to them and saying, you know, what was your enrollment like this year? Did you hire teachers this year? Are you planning on hiring teachers next year? And we were looking a lot at the K-3 for hiring teachers and things. But when they talked about their enrollment, these six districts, and not all of them reported to me, but these six districts of the 10 that reported to me, have declined enrollment similar to our decline, which our decline is roughly about 2.5% of our enrollment. Theirs are similar. There are some bigger districts, there are some smaller districts there, but when you look at the numbers and the percentage that they declined versus their total overall enrollment. So it's not a unique problem to West Covina. Looking at this, and I color-coded this so you can see back to 11-12 up to this year, which would be numbers that we have. This is numbers of enrollment of non-special ed students. So special ed students are not included in this enrollment. The reason I did that is because special ed students and classes are staffed completely differently than the general ed student and classes are. There's needs that are addressed specifically to individuals. And staffing levels are totally different for special education. So when I look at this, you can see 2014-15 was a drop-off to 13-14, but I also am projecting, or we're also projecting, a continuing trend of that for the next 3 years. And we look at the three out years to get a better handle on things for the budget and what we may need to do. I broke it down to elementary schools. So if you look at the elementary schools as a whole, beginning last year and then this year and then the three out years, you can see the projected enrollment or the actual enrollment for this year and last year. It's going from 3869 to last year down this year. Every year it goes down a significant amount. If you look at the staffing in the third column, we went down three teachers this year. Next year projected to go down 10 teachers. The following year another three teachers. The following year another four teachers in elementary level only. So if these projections hold true, projected to go down 17 teachers in the next 3 years. And again, this is not broken down school by school, but it is overall elementary. So it's a macro look at it. The secondary schools, a little bit different way of staffing. There's a lot of different needs, different levels of English, levels of math and things. So it's not strictly a 33 students and one teacher, or 34 students and one teacher. So if you look at this and the enrollment, there is a steady decline from 5,096 down to 4,722. And bear in mind, 15, 16, and so on are projections. But they're based on current enrollment and a straight line projection to the next grade level. You can see the staffing here goes down. And depending on where these students fall in the middle schools and the high schools, it's not really correlated as if you lose 100 students, you lose three teachers. It all depends on where they fall into their grade levels and how many teachers I need in each discipline. And we do drill it down that far. West Covina High School is a little bit more difficult to do that way. But our other schools are relatively small, and we have to staff them that way. I can't staff them based on if you have 100 teachers in 34 to 1 is our limit, you get 100 students, you get three teachers. You wouldn't be able to teach them all the subjects. So it has to be drilled down by grade level and by subject area. So, but you can see next year, 15, 16, we reduce down 7 teachers from this year, and the following year, 0.8 teachers, and the following year, another 3 teachers. Secondary level, we do get down to the 0.2, that is one class. So if a teacher is teaching 5 classes and I reduce them down to 4 classes, now it's a 0.8 teacher, not 100 students, not an FTE. So that's why you can get the 0.8s and the different points that we have in the staffing. It's not all one class, one teacher. The middle school specifically, we had a concern when I presented the last time of Walnut Grove's enrollment and how it dropped significantly this year, a little unexpected. So we looked at a couple options at the middle schools and different configurations. This particular slide and this particular chart is if we kept it status quo. The feeding pattern stayed the same. Walnut Grove stays a 7-8 school. Part of Cameron goes to Hollingcrest, part of Cameron goes to Edgewood. All feed the same areas that they're currently feeding now. And when you look at this, and you can see by the circled and slightly larger, bolder numbers at Walnut Grove, it looks like 15, 16 will go down again, but based on the enrollment in the elementary schools at the schools that feed Walnut Grove, if they all go to Walnut Grove as they're supposed to, it looks like it goes back up to 422, 425, which is where we would expect it, somewhere between 415, 420 to 450 is where we would expect Walnut Grove to be. So you look in the three out year, the two furthest out year, 16, 17, 17, 18, it looks like they go back up. One of the things we did look at as an alternative to the status quo was if we looked at a number of different things, but the one that you're going to see a chart here in a second is if we moved the Cameron kids and we put a sixth grade at Walnut Grove. So we moved the kids that are at Cameron who currently go to Edgewood. So they pass right by Walnut Grove to go to Edgewood. And then we have the kids that are currently going to Hollingcrest from Cameron. And if we took all of Cameron and put them at Walnut Grove and created a sixth grade at Walnut Grove, what that would do is reduce kids that go to Hollingcrest and reduce kids that go to Edgewood and increase kids that go to Walnut Grove. When I project this out over the course of the years, next year in 15-16, it looks relatively similar to what we have now. You have Hollingcrest being the largest school, Edgewood somewhere in the high fours, low fives, and then you have Walnut Grove being around 450, but then in 16-17, Walnut Grove becomes our largest middle school by a small amount, and then in 17-18, they're our largest middle school by a large amount. If you can see, Edgewood is at 329, basically because their sixth grade there is only limited to Orangewood coming in. And then you have a reduction of all the kids that usually go from Cameron to Hollingcrest, and now it's just Merced and Vine there. So over the course of 3 years, you have a much greater reduction. It's not just 40 or 50 kids. It ends up being 150 kids. So, again, circled there. The impact of this at Walnut Grove, it is our smallest physical plant as far as a middle school goes. To house those students would mean adding facilities, adding either buildings or portables. Cafeteria probably would be able to handle it on a staggered lunch. PE facilities would have to be enhanced. So there are some construction costs and some facilities costs that would be added onto this particular issue, as well as the changes for parents. Kids that go to Hollingcrest and kids that go to Edgewood would now all go to from Cameron would now all go to Walnut Grove. Other configurations that we considered, we took the kids that currently go to Edgewood from Cameron, and Merlin to turn them into a K-5 school so we could create a sixth grade at Walnut Grove. So any kid that is in fifth grade now, or student that is in fifth grade now at Merlinda and in sixth grade, they would both go to Walnut Grove as sixth and seventh graders. And that portion of Cameron, which basically is west of Lark Ellen, would go to Walnut Grove instead of going to Edgewood. When we looked at that, there was a couple things that we were concerned about there. First of all, it's a huge change for those fifth graders who are expecting to stay at Merlinda as a sixth grade would now be at Walnut Grove is sixth grade, and the numbers look similar to this. When we're all said and done at the end, Walnut Grove becomes the largest middle school, close to 700, again, have the same facilities issues. We looked at moving all sixth grade to middle schools and making all the elementaries K-5 or K-2 and 3-5, and the middle schools got significantly bigger. The elementary schools had even more teachers being laid off. Again, the plant sizes don't really accommodate having all the sixth grades at middle schools. And there is looked at changing Edgewood Middle School to a 7-8, and Walnut Grove go to 6-8, Holland Crest go to 6-8, and creating feeding patterns there. The difficulty there is you really would need to make Orangewood a K-6. Because if you didn't make Orangewood a K-6 and you had those fifth graders go to Walnut Grove a sixth grade, logic suggests that come seventh grade time, those parents would want their kids at Edgewood, which is right across the street. So it didn't make a whole lot of sense to try to pull them there. So make them a K-6 again, have to add portables and facilities. So all those are very major undertakings that were major disruptions to the current status quo. This was a little less of a disruption. You're affecting one school, one set of grade level. So we looked at this more in a broader sense. One of the other things that we were concerned about was the TK enrollment and the kindergarten enrollment. Kindergarten enrollment really coincides with what you saw for the state. When I look at the three-year average of kindergarten and the current enrollment of TK, it looks like we would raise slightly next year to what you see in the green here on this slide. So the yellow is current actual numbers. The green is projected numbers. And then it would level off based on a three-year average for kindergarten, not just this year, which is down. But if I take the last 3 years and I average that and I look at this, it goes up slightly and then levels off. Again, not an exact science, but this is what we looked at. One of the concerns with TK is it's a half-day TK. And TK, for the recording, is transitional kindergarten. If we looked at, and that was one of the things we had discussed last time, if we looked at moving TK to a full day, we believe that would attract more enrollment. More parents would want to send their kids here. I think that's part of the reason they don't send them here is the child care after school. And they keep them either in the child care or daycare they're in versus bringing them here, because back in 11-12, the birth dates that were there before the changes were made in the enrollment and moving them back, there were roughly 175, well, actually it's 173, you'll see in the next slide, students that fell into that birthday range. We only have 60 kids in TK. That's one-third of what potentially it could have been or what you would expect in logically applying the numbers. So when you look at that and you say, okay, half day, we're getting 60, and you estimate if we went to full day, we would increase those numbers. I'm not saying we would increase them threefold, but I would think probably twice as many, get in the 120, 125 range, possibly more depending on, because kindergarten went down, I'd have to do that when I'm looking at projections, so I would think it would go down a little bit, but I would think it would double at least if we went to full day.
Let me finish.
Okay. But we look at all these things, and based on these things and based on the information and based on the numbers that we went out to, And based on what you just saw in this information, we come up with a couple recommendations. One is keeping it status quo. Keep the feeding pattern status quo. Don't make a change at Walnut Grove next year. Let's see what happens. But adjust the staffing based on enrollment. We talked about that before, and I'll talk about it more as the time comes. But there are areas, especially at the elementary level, that we would be considered overstaffed. And so we would need to reduce the staff to match the enrollment that's here and match the enrollment that comes in next year. Go to full-day transitional kindergarten and full-day K to try to enhance and increase the enrollment there. And as one of the first steps to attracting outside people to come in or keeping people who live here to stay here is to look at the process for instituting the IB program, the International Baccalaureate Program, in the middle years as an avenue to either attract students or retain students. So that would be our recommendations for 15-16. We feel change to Walnut Grove, the changes that we looked at and the changes we considered are maybe not necessary right now, and some of them pretty drastic, a change to institute between now and next year.
The even if we had a full day kindergarten, TK, they would still need after school care, because I'm looking at the parents who most likely would come to us are because they would, the incentive would be not to pay for child care. Does TK qualify to go to YASIS?
They do.
And is there a different ratio for the just turned fives? Would they just be mixed in with the general population?
I believe the ratio level is the same for TK as it is for kindergarten.
And then if we decided to go that way and it did double, what schools would we look at having additional TKs?
I personally like the way we did it this year. It's not necessarily the quickest way to tell a parent where your child's going to attend, but when we looked at who enrolled in TK and where their home school was, it was better that we were able to maintain the TK class at that home school. I like the fact we're kind of spread out. We're at Vine, we're at West Cove, we're at Monta Vista, right. So it spreads out the district. So if you have somebody at Orangewood that needs TK, you can go up here to Monta Vista. It's not as far to travel. I don't necessarily think it would increase enough to have one at every school, but we would attempt to try to spread them out and be at the schools that predominantly have them be in their home school then, because that's what we have now. The reason we put it at Monta Vista is there are so many kids from Monta Vista's area who enrolled in TK, it made more sense to put it there and have a couple kids travel, say, from the Orangewood area up to there rather than have the 10 or 12 kids from there travel somewhere else.
Right.
So that's how I would try to institute
Orangewood
it.
Orangewood actually is closer to West Cove.
Right, except West Cove fills up pretty quick.
I know. I'm just saying,
West Cove has the most kids in their area in TK. So the most, if I were to give you all the 60 TK kids and see where most of them live, that'd be in the West Cove area. And that's why we have them there. But that one filled up rather quickly in the sense of all the West Cove kids took the spots, and then any spots were left, we gave to the people that came in first come, first serve.
And the only reason I was... we would want, if it was a motivation to keep these students, they would probably want to stay at that same school because they're going to establish relationships.
Right.
So I know that there's, for example, someone at Merlinda in the TK program at West Cove, and they're thinking, and actually West Cove's closer to their home. They're thinking of just staying there now because their child has made friends in TK.
And we do allow that. If you attended TK there and you want to continue kindergarten there, then you continue kindergarten there.
And what schools have room if, with the current configuration, because I know Orangewood was impacted. When we did the tours, there were some schools that had no more rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Where could we put them? Changes in configuration.
If I'm not mistaken, the only school that is completely full is Merced.
But with the declining enrollment, it opens
right.
up.
Well, that's my next sentence.
Oh, sorry.
With the reduction of 10 teachers, that reduces 10 classrooms. I'd have to look at that, but off the top of my head, I believe Merced is the only one without a classroom to be used right now. And then you reduce a teacher at, say, Cameron. Now that there's another classroom there, if you reduce a teacher at Merced, there'd be a classroom there. So I would feel like we could probably put a TK at any of our classes without really doing a research right now. If I did the research, then I'd be able to tell you exactly. But
and we're not adding any additional special day classes.
Not bringing any more back. If our numbers increase, then we would be adding more special day classes.
But it looks, I mean,
I think we're gonna, we need a special day class now. I think we need one more mild moderate at, we're looking at that.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure out classroom size, and then if we're going to be looking at reconfiguring, which I hate to even think about that, what a nightmare, then we would have to look at the TK and an additional special day class somewhere.
I think we would look at that if we, you know, had a choice to put a TK at, I don't know, say Merlinda versus Cameron, and I have a classroom available at Cameron, I don't have one at Merlinda, it would make more sense to put it at Cameron. If I have a classroom available at either one, then it depends on, you know, the enrollment.
For the most of, okay. And where most of our students are from West Cove, though. I mean,
most of the TK students.
Yes. Are, okay.
Yes.
Yes, those are my only questions.
Thank you. I had two questions. The first is discussion. Where did the discussion land with having Monta Vista and Walnut Grove as our science schools, which would also then be an attraction for enrollment? I didn't see it as a recommendation, so I don't know if that died in the water. Or
no, nothing has died in the water.
Okay.
I think there's two issues going on. Obviously, you're going to be bringing in a new superintendent.
Okay.
And so I think that is a long-term plan, a long-term goal to look at. We've definitely talked about it. I think we just put this down for the immediate for this year as opposed to a long-term goal for the district.
Okay, thank you. And then the second question I had was just a follow-up, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to check about when students are five by January to attract in order to fill up our classes, if the laws changed on that from when I went through master's in governance training.
The law hasn't changed, and ironically, what's his name? Mr.
Torlakson. Superintendent Torlakson.
Put out a reminder law that came to all of us that said, okay, this is how you have to institute this. So the law hasn't changed with any of the institution or the changes in the enrollment years. Basically, what it says is that you're eligible for TK if your birthday is between September 1st and December 2nd. You're eligible for kindergarten if you turn five before that or when you turn five. So if a student turns five on October 10th, they're eligible to go into kindergarten on October 10th with request from the parent, with meeting that discusses with the parent what the pros and cons are, and with the approval of the board. So we could enroll a student when they turn five into that class. We cannot enroll them before that into a kindergarten class.
Okay.
We can enroll them in TK, but they're obviously set for TK.
Right.
And that's the same for a student who, say, turns five in January. They're not eligible for TK or K. When they turn five, same thing would occur. We have the meeting. We discuss those things. It's a request by the parent. They still want them to go into kindergarten. We bring it to you for approval, and then they can enroll after they turn 5 years old.
So they cannot join the TK classroom in January when they turn five?
I would say they could.
They can.
Yeah.
Although
so then
the Ed Code itself talks about kindergarten, but I would say with the same parameters, they could join the TK class.
Until we're full in our TK classes, we could advertise that. It's January, your child's five. Come enroll them in full day.
Well, again,
pre-TK
each one of those would have to come to the board for your board action.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we could. So that could help our enrollment.
But I also think that those are individual. TK, not so much. For kindergarten, for a student to come into kindergarten in January.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I would not advise that.
Yeah.
And that, oh, gosh, and I'm so sorry. I should have looked it up with district because they did not do that. They did not impact their kindergarten classroom. It was their preschool classroom that was being funded by the district. But as soon as kids turned five, they were drawing ADA. So, but it was their what would we now call the TK classroom. It was their preschool. So we could advertise that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we'd look at what our enrollment is in our TK classes, and if adding
right.
one student or two students or five students would make us have to add a new
right,
teacher.
No, but just to complete the classes. So if we're at 22, we could complete the class to 24 with a January birth date. Okay. I'm not looking to add
yeah.
more teachers, but to complete what we have around the district.
Yes, we could.
Because then they would then enroll in kindergarten in the fall, and to Cammie's point, they wouldn't want to move. They would stay with us. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Flowers?
Yes, just one question, Mike. The enrollment at Walnut Grove, is that coming from the development that's coming into the city? Is that also included also? And those like 16, 17, 18, is that included?
It's not. We're concerned with how many school-age children that development, you're talking about the one over in, by the lakes and where Wicks used to be. The other developments are pretty small and really wouldn't mm-hmm. significantly affect staffing or enrollment. That one could. A little concern on our part with how many school-age children would actually be living there with the cost of the units. And we're just not sure. We don't want to over-project. I'd rather under-project and have to hire staff back before I over-project, and we end up kind of in a situation we're in right now.
All right. Are you looking? Oh, go ahead.
Beginning the process for instituting an IB middle school years, and you're looking at that for next school year?
To start the process.
Yes. How long does that process take?
I know my previous district just went through that process, and it was about a year and a half to 2 years. By visiting schools, you know, there's a cost involved in terms of that. So I believe it was about a two-year process for them. Doesn't mean you can't do it quicker, but I think for that going and visiting and studying and all that, it was a two-year process.
Because, I mean, if we're just looking at reconfiguring the middle schools, and if that was like a school of choice like Edgewood High School is, that might be an easier way to realign if they knew they had, this was another option we were giving them.
Right, and middle okay. years actually starts at 10th grade. So ideally, we should be looking at, middle years goes up to 10th grade, so we really should be looking at 9th and 10th grade for Edgewood High School because it's an easier transition for kids to get into the IB program. So it's a perfect place to start with two grades and keep going down to the middle school, and you might be able to implement it quicker than 2 years.
I mean, that is something I'm really interested in. So if we're looking at, you know, for discussion purposes, I would like to see that happen. That would be easier than some of the other things that you...
That's something we could start looking at in the district starting right now, start doing that investigation. Maybe come to the board with a recommendation by the end of the year.
I would like to see that.
Okay, you're looking for guidance. What do you want to do?
Well, I think our recommendation for next year is, number one, keep the status quo at the schools. Number two, consider a full-day TK. And number three, or at least some classes full-day, some half-day, depending on what interest we have in the public. And number three, beginning the process for middle years. Those are our three recommendations.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen, I was hoping that we were able to see some change with the Edgewood campus and moving that. So I appreciate the fact that you've gone through that. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I'm talking about eliminating the middle school from Edgewood entirely. And I don't think that's just going to happen. I don't.
Actually, Ms. Kaplan had talked to me about that, and I did look at those numbers. The issue there, when if you eliminate completely, you've now put all the middle school children at Walnut Grove and Hollencrest, they become close to 900, 1,000 each, and neither one of those plants are capable of handling that.
Right, and the problem was is I'd only gone halfway through in my sort of analysis because memory doesn't quite go back as far as the fact that we used to have Del Norte
yes.
as a middle school, and so that was where that was taking that extra flow on this side of the the city. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense then, and that's obviously not going to happen.
I think Del Norte was a 4 through 8.
It was several different configurations. I think at one time it was even a K-8.
Well, those are things down in the future you can look at in terms of if enrollment is really going down in our elementary schools, because if you look, it's more impacting our elementary schools. There are other options for the future, a K-8 school. And, you know, one of the, they were talking to me at Edgewood about if we're really looking at reconfiguration, would we reconsider the 7-12 over there and making Walnut Grove the 6th grade. So I those aren't precluded in these discussions, but for next year, I think they're precluded for next year.
Walnut Grove, and it complete 100% 6th grade?
One of the things we talked about last...
Middle school.
No, middle school. But one of the things we talked about last year was making Edgewood one school, and one of the recommendations was a 7-12.
Yeah. But then you're talking about making Orangewood a
yeah,
K-6.
That was... Right. The only thing I could think of that was logical, right. Because if I was a parent and they lived in Orangewood and I went to 6th grade there and I could go to 7th grade at Edgewood, I'd pull them right back.
Right.
That just didn't make much sense, because then Walnut Grove in 7th grade would go way down and we'd still have a really small school. And that doesn't make sense for a kid to go
not,
K-5
not
here, 6 here, and 7. That's just too many movements in a short period of time.
Any other comments or recommendations?
I can support the 3. And then if we have spaces in our TK classrooms come January, advertise them to fill them with students who've just turned 5. But, yeah, I support this.
Thank
we
you.
We have 3.
And if there's a way we can make sure if we're going to do something like that, do we have I think there's waiting lists for all the YASs. So and so if people were really, they would still have a daycare issue if you're getting out at 2 o'clock for a full day kindergarten.
Well, again, we can advertise it, but you can have.
Can you with Williams have some TKs full day and some half day? If some parents wanted a half day TK and some parents, we wouldn't be precluded from doing that. So if we at least give the option out there, we have an opportunity of seeing what really works.
The only thing I would say to take into consideration is when you were looking at the Cameron to Walnut Grove, having all the students go there, I think I would take into consideration the fact that there are going to be parents who are not going to want to send them to Walnut Grove, that with the other schools being so small, there's going to be room to Hollencrest and Edgewood. So those numbers may be a lot more inflated than they would actually be in reality in the outlying years.
That was one of our considerations in making the recommendation, not to make that recommendation.
Thank you.
All right, next item on the agenda is the developer fee justification. So I just had a couple of questions on that. Is, you know, apparently in order to do this tax increase on developers, that you're indicating that we're required to do this study. But that's not entirely true. That's only true, I mean, obviously, since we've not done it since 2000, there is no real requirement to do it, except if we plan to, you know, impose a tax increase on new development in the city. Is that
two things to do? Is the first one is, yes, if you're looking to increase what you collect to the maximum allowable amount, you would need to do this study. But also the fact we collect developer fees every year, and we've been doing that, and we still need to do a justification of why are we collecting these fees, and that's what the justification study does. Even though you're not collecting the max.
Where are the fees coming from? Not new development, though.
They're coming from residential development, people that add on to their homes and excess. There are some new developments going in. The development that happened over at the Wicks property was a good point. And there's also commercial industrial.
That's all already done. That's already been assessed, and that's going to be...
That's a one-time fee that's been paid. However, in the future, we don't know what's going to come in. This just gives the board the option in the future if they wish to raise the fees.
Well, I'm not inclined to impose those fees or taxes on. I would actually be interested in seeing the impact. My my suspicion is, based on the nature of the available space within the district, that it's probably not going to be a significant impact.
There's not a lot of, it's pretty developed this way. Now they're starting to go
right, but that's
up
just
in some cases.
And additions and mansionizations and all of those wonderful things that want to be addressed at a different level.
It's also commercial and commercial and industrial.
That you want those to increase and do those kinds of things so that we can.
I'm not saying that the board should or should not increase the fees. There's also commercial industrials. People, as businesses grow in the city, many times people that work in the city will bring their kids to our district. That puts an impact on our schools.
I mean, like teachers?
It could be teachers. It could be people at the mall. It could be you name it.
Anything else on this? Is there a motion, please?
I will move it with the understanding that I'm doing it just because we have been informed that it's in our best interest to do so. I have no interest in changing the fees
right
we charge.
All right.
A second.
It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker with that very important caveat, and seconded by Mike Flowers. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Just a little discussion. I'm going to vote for it, but since it would mostly be on our residents who've already passed a bond for us and seem to be hit over and over again with more and more fees, if they wanted to add on and stay in our wonderful community, I'd hate for them to be penalized. And it's mostly they may be adding on because they were having more children to put in our district. I don't want to.
So that's an unequivocal aye?
It's an aye, but with the caveat.
All right. two ayes with caveats, three with third one with concern, and
right. All right. That's what you're hearing.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Any other Board of Education discussion?
Just one thing.
Go ahead, Mr.
We got a general plan meeting on Thursday, so we asked anybody in the city to.
Take good notes, would you please?
Come and part to be a part of the general plan. 3:00 p.m. on Thursday.
Oh, I have to work. Oh, don't you have to work?
No,
you're retired or something.
So basically, it's going to be processed by a lot of old government employees. Super.
You can join me.
Yeah. Dates to remember: the Thanksgiving holidays, Board of Education, we have a special meeting on the 2nd and the 6th, and a regular meeting, organizational meeting on December 10th. This meeting is adjourned at 8:25.